A lot has been said since Saturday night. And John, I am attempting to show restraint and be measured. Because some of you know my past feelings about Jared Goff. I am a reformed Jared Goff hater. Saw the light last year in the playoffs, saw him put together three straight games where he was plenty good enough, made big throws, and got him all the way to the NFC title and played well enough for them to get to the Super Bowl. What I watched on Saturday night felt like what they saw at the end in Los Angeles. It looked like why Sean McVay moved on. It looked like a guy who had issues with turnovers. They end up coming in spurts and he spirals. And I'm showing restraint because I still think you can win a Super Bowl with Jared Goff. I have some concerns, and I think it's fair to question that performance from him. How big a deal was that big picture to you?
I think when you are asking Jared Goff to go out there and be the reason to win every game, it's not what they did offensively, but in that game, when you lose Amik Robertson and you know the defense isn't going to be able to really hold up their end of the bargain, you're going to have to score a lot of points. What did we say going into the playoffs? What did we say the last, 6 weeks of the season? You may have to score 35-plus points per game to be able to win. And so I think, especially after the fumble, Jared Goff was pressing.
Yeah.
He was trying to make the big play. And when Jared Goff presses, and you'll find this, it's not just unique to quarterbacks. Everything is highlighted with the quarterback because they're the ones with the ball in their hand every single play. But when you press and you get out of your comfort zone, bad things generally happen. And as an offensive lineman, if I'm going to, if you're trying to block two guys, you generally block none. That's part of the mindset. Do your job, be disciplined. And he broke discipline. That's really what it comes down to. He broke discipline. Instead of taking Laporta in the first down, he tried to go for the one just a little bit deeper, ended up sailing the ball. It's a pick six. And he paid a hefty price on that one. So he just needs to get back to being disciplined in the offense, playing within the parameters, because the offense is good enough to win a Super Bowl. The offense is good enough with Jared Goff to win a Super Bowl. But you've got to stay within those parameters.
I think you want a guy when things get tough, doesn't press, but kind of grabs the reins and plays better.
Well, and we've seen him do that.
Yeah.
So, is this a one-off? It's not just a one-off because we saw it against Houston. We've seen it, at different times throughout his career, even before he came to Detroit. That's why I say when he is disciplined, he's a quarterback that can certainly take you to a Super Bowl and win it.
Yeah, you have to take the pressure off of him. And I'm not, insulting him by saying that. All these guys need different degrees of help. They're the number one offense in football,
yep.
Right? They absolutely can win a Super Bowl with Jared Goff at quarterback, but they're going to need to beef up the O-line. They're going to need to run the damn ball. They're going to need to have a better defense, right? And these are all things that they can attack this offseason. They've got the cap space. They've got some pieces. They've got a great general manager.
Yeah. And doctors and trainers can help in that as well. Yeah. Just getting guys back healthy will make this team better.
Where are you guys at with Goff right now? 248-539-9797. We're not doing Hendon Hooker radio. We're not going to, I can't tell you what to say if you call in, but we're not going to seriously consider any Hendon Hooker talk. And you're not trading Goff. He signed long term. He's your quarterback next year and beyond. But your confidence level in him, was it shaken at all by what you saw on Saturday night? 248-539-9797. Let's get to Greg in Detroit. Greg, you're on 97.1.
Hex, no, my confidence is not shaken with Jared Goff. Jared Goff is a superstar. He's the greatest quarterback the Detroit Lions have ever had. I love Jared Goff. But what we have to understand, fellas, and as Lions fans, we're going through a metamorphosis of understanding and changing and learning. Jared Goff is forced to carry both sides of the ball. He's forced to carry the defense, and of course, he's forced to carry the offense. Now, Jared Goff has shown us that he has the ability to throw interceptions. He has the ability to mess up, but he has the ability to get his focus on, straighten up, tie the ship, and come back and do better. I have never seen a laser beam focused quarterback in my life that once after he threw an interception. If you ever look at Jared Goff after he threw an interception, he's coming back laser beam focused. And that attitude has helped him for the last couple of seasons. He ran into some adversity during some games, threw the interception, got focused, came back and brought the team back. Now this time, ran into the mass adversity, threw some interception, got laser beam focused, still threw for 500 yards, still threw for 31 points. But what the point that people are not making is that you ran into this young quarterback who is something like we have not seen, who is poised and calm and is going to make you to pay for those mistakes because the defense doesn't have the ability to help Garrett out when he makes a mistake. Garrett has to help himself out. We don't have a defense to help him out when he makes a mistake. And that Washington offense with that quarterback, something like we have never seen, bust on the scene of the NFL, made us pay every time we made a mistake.
Well, Greg, I would agree with you that at times throughout the course of the last couple of years, Jared Goff has thrown an interception and come back with laser beam focus. I just don't think that he returned with laser beam focus on Saturday night. Which interception did he throw that he came back with laser beam focus? Because you can't make the argument it was one or two. And after he threw the third one, game was over.
Yeah, well, I would never argue with you, first and foremost. But however, he's still the quarterback of the future. He's still the Lions. He's a MVP quarterback, far as I'm concerned. And we're going to win. We can win a Super Bowl with Jared Goff.
I agree with you on that. I think we can win a Super Bowl with him. And he is our quarterback.
He is the quarterback.
I just would argue that point that on Saturday night, he didn't return with laser beam focus.
He
did make some good throws here and there, but you can't throw three interceptions. You can't turn the ball over four times.
Now, your diagnosis, I think, was spot on, that he was pressing. Campbell had said at different points, he told Jared Goff that he was trying to do too much. And I think this was another example of that. Don't ask him to do too much. Run the ball, play action pass. He can stand in and deliver an accurate shot on a third down. He's more than a game manager, but he's not one of these like superhuman quarterbacks.
Right, but that's the battle that so many athletes, that's the battle so many people that are really good at what they do, even outside of sports, that when you are asked to do something, you got to stay within the parameters. Trust what got you to that point. Trust in your teammates and don't try and do something that you're not asked to do.
When we bring this conversation up, we're going to get texts like this one, all caps. It's not Goff's fault. The defense couldn't stop a JV high school team. Aaron, South Lyon at work.
Well, okay. They struggled to make stops, but they were also put in bad position because of the turnovers.
I really don't think we need to do the kid gloves thing with Jared Goff.
No.
I know we love Jared Goff, but he wasn't good enough. And the people who are going to go to the ends of the earth to not criticize him, guys, no one's kicking him out of the city of Detroit. You can just be honest. The defense played well enough to win that game if Goff doesn't commit not one, two, three, but four turnovers.
Yeah, for people who don't think he's the first person to blame for this, I just don't know what world you're living in. You are living in a world where you fell in love with a guy. Look, first off, this city, I'm from here. I'm going to tell you what. I've been in this business for over 25 years. This city's defense of their athletes, they'll never blame their athletes before they blame a coach or a coach that's leaving or other things like time off and coordinator interview distractions. Before Jared Goff's performance on Saturday, he was awful. His QB rating says so.
Yeah.
It was under 60. You know the lowest it can be is 39.7, by the way.
I didn't know that.
He was 59.7. I mean, he was a guy that had a QB rating of 111 during the season. He almost went like half as much of his rating in this game. He did not play well, and turnovers are catastrophic in football. They are. Find me a game that they've won. I don't think they've won a game when he threw a pick six since he's been here.
Yeah, John has said it. Turnovers are terminal. We watched the Ravens, who have a better defense than Detroit, lose this week. We watched the Rams, who have a better defense than Detroit, lose this week. You know what the commonality in both those games are? They had multiple turnovers and the other team had zero.
Yeah.
So like Goff was more turnover prone than Lamar and that Rams offense.
Mark Andrews wouldn't have had to catch that two-point conversion if Lamar didn't turn the ball over twice in the first half, probably, because Baltimore dominated that game.
It's a difference maker.
But Lamar, you know, when you listed your three, you went Allen's Mahomes immediately. Mahomes, agree.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said, yeah, Burrow, too.
Yeah.
Who didn't you put in? Lamar.
Because I think there's a debate there.
Right. There is. There is. There just is. Those turnovers are so catastrophic, and he fumbled 7 times this year. That was the first one he lost all year.
Goff, you're saying.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to Doug in the bullpen during a break, and Doug's like, well, you know, I looked up the fumbles yesterday, and that's middle of the pack. You don't want to be middle of the pack fumbling the football as a QB. You need to be in the top 5, the top 10.
Clean save. They got here playing clean football. Like Jared Goff playing clean football got the Lions the number one offense, and they didn't play clean football on Saturday, and they were promptly escorted out of the playoffs. 248-539-9797. Was your confidence in Goff shaken at all? You're going to lose Ben Johnson. You saw that performance in a big playoff game. Where are you at? It's 97.1.
Hey, if you're looking to get stronger, this is your year, and it's at Planet Fitness. You want to feel your strongest, best self with best-in-class equipment for a full workout, from strength training to cardio to stretching. It's at Planet Fitness. Right now, they've got the $1 down, $15 a month. It's going to get you in the door. And if you get there, you like what you see, you like what you're doing, every single level of membership offers free fitness training. If you want to upgrade, you go to the Black Card membership. You're going to have access to every single club around town and around the country. You're going to get all the perks of a Black Card membership, the Black Card Spa, Hydra Massage, all of those different innovative amenities. Plus, one of the great things is you could bring a guest anytime. So when you go, if you like variety in your workouts, they've got free weights, cable towers, Smith machines, upper and lower body strength machines, and a slew of cardio equipment. A dollar down, $15 a month gets you in the door. You must be 18 years old or older. If you got a mom or dad or a guardian that wants to go with you, 13 to 17 will get you in the door as well. Hours and amenities and offers vary by club. Check the planetfitness.com app or on the web or the app to stop by your local club for more information. Find the nearest club and join today in club, online, or on the free Planet Fitness app. We're all strong on this planet. That's Planet Fitness.
Picking up the pieces from Saturday night, did that shake your confidence in Jared Goff? He had played so well in the postseason the year before. But there's no way around it. As much as you like the guy, you can't defend it. That was terrible. 4 turnovers. 3 of them in the first half. That's the biggest reason they lost that football game. And he can't be the biggest reason you lose games as a $200 million quarterback. Too much is given. Much is expected. So where are you at with Jared Goff? 248-539-9797. He will chart a course forward as the team's quarterback without Ben Johnson, who we'll talk more about coming up at 9:35. The offense, we assume, is going to stay largely the same. Campbell confirming Goff will have some say, some input, and they're going to want to continue to operate the same way both sides of the ball, even if they lose both coordinators.
Yeah, I mean, this is Dan Campbell's offense. It's going to be his vision. It's going to be his vision on both sides. In when he's hiring a defensive coordinator, obviously, they're going to have more. So I don't know how much Dan will be involved once that position is in place, but he knows the personality. He knows the type of coach, the type of defense that he wants. And pairing that with what he is expecting on offense, we've seen. You make a hire, you're not happy with it, he'll make a change. And he's not going to wait to the end of the year to do it. So having made 2 hires at that position, he's probably very familiar with what he's looking for, having made a mistake and then doing something right. I think he's going to be able to be laser focused on who he brings in or who he promotes to that position.
I think the tell was when he was asked about Anthony Lynn, and he said through that experience when he let him go, he realized he needed to be more involved in the offense. I think that's the tell, that he was not just, hey, Ben Johnson's over in a corner office putting the game plan together by himself.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell was absolutely a big part of what they were doing offensively, and that's encouraging because he's still here. Through all of the changes that may or may not happen, he is still here.
And however much of this offense was Dan's or Ben's, They both learned from each other. That's what you do. Even if you are the one in charge, doesn't mean you have all the answers. And I think Dan will be the first one to tell you, and I think we all would understand if he said, yeah, I don't have all the answers. And if Ben's got a great idea or a great concept, how does that fit with what I believe in constructing this offense? So there will still be, you know, elements of a Ben Johnson offense. But this is, let's call it, this is a Sean Payton offense that Dan has fit for himself.
Modified, yeah. Let's get to Tom in Rochester Hills. Tom, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. I got a commentary and a question. First, a commentary. Jared Goff, we can all admit, didn't have a good game. But he wasn't the sole reason we lost that game.
Who's saying he was?
And I, you know, I think that pass down the field to Williams in the end zone actually was a good pass. If Williams squares off that route, worst case scenario, there's pass interference. Best case, he catches the ball. So Williams didn't help him on that. Certainly on the call that we had, you know, where Williams just thrown it, throws a pick. Bad call to begin with, but he should have thrown it away. So he was part of the problem. He wasn't the only problem. My question is related to the fourth down play with 12 men on the field.
Yeah.
I don't believe that was ever hiked before the time ran out. You can play with 12 men as long as you don't get caught. So if the time expired, why wasn't that best case scenario penalty on Washington, worst case offsetting penalties? I'm scratching my head on that.
Well, you get into that weird, that's one of the weird rules that NFL has in regards to, do they get the snap off in a reasonable amount of time after it hits double zero? Mm-hmm. Like that whole hits double zero, then a beat, then I blow the whistle or throw the flag. Like I don't get that. It doesn't happen in any other sport.
Yeah. No, and it doesn't even happen at the college level of the sport. That like echo of the whistle,
right,
type of thing. Yeah. You get like an extra half second.
And you're guilty.
Yeah. He said it's not all on Goff. I said, who's saying it's all? No one has said it's all on Goff. It's like a defense mechanism to say it's, no one has said it's all on Goff.
But he gets the biggest piece of the pie, right?
And his second pick, J-Mo's got to reach back to his hip pocket to get the football. And the defender's there undercutting the route because it wasn't deep enough. He didn't put enough on it. He's got a strong enough arm to make that throw. It's a 30-yard post. It's not easy, but it can't be behind him.
He's made that throw before.
Yeah.
And he'll make it again.
And the point about it's not all on Goff, yeah, I think you could actually, like the fourth down play, it was not Goff's fault, right? They had a chance. Fourth and two to get off the field, get a stop, get the ball with a chance to take the lead. And for inexplicable reasons, Dan Campbell walked out and moved the ball for a first down. Like, I mean, by not calling a timeout, he awarded Washington a first down willfully.
Yeah.
I mean, I think given the stakes, it may have been the worst decision he's made in a game to not give your defense a chance to make a stop on fourth down. Hey, timeout. I'm going to fire these dudes up. We're going to make sure we can count to 11. We're going to give ourselves a chance. When he gave him a first down inside the five, like, all right, we're down 10 in the fourth. Then J-Mo throws the pick, but the game kind of felt like it was, you're running out of steam at that point. They needed to get a timeout and get a stop on the fourth and two.
Yeah, and it's especially with the defense that really wasn't putting up much of a fight. You got a chance of making one stop versus, you know, four. Getting a fresh set of downs, yeah, with what goal to go from the three.
Let's get to Heather with the news. Heather, what's going on?
Well, there's a Michigan woman who was just arrested after she allegedly abandoned a puppy in a porta potty.
What?
Yeah, at a Grand Blanc park. So police say this puppy, Hank, was abandoned probably for at least several days. An employee that owns the porta potty found Hank freezing cold, right, in this small little area, no water, did have a small bowl of food. Obviously, that was the only place it could also use the bathroom, so it was sitting in its own mess. But later, the woman was found, 25-year-old woman, said her landlord would not accept pit bulls, so she didn't know what to do with it. So she decided just to
leave it in a porta potty?
Leave it there, yep. So she has been arrested, and it sounds like Hank is going to be okay. Thankfully, this employee found him quick enough. It's always sad to hear those stories, but it's good that this dog is going to be okay, which is why I felt comfortable sharing it, right? Well, after seeing the Houston Texans get penalized for a hit against Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, ESPN's Troy Aikman felt it might be time for a rule change. So Aikman was really quick to criticize the ref's call of unnecessary roughness. I didn't see this, so I might be explaining it wrong, but after a pair of Houston defenders went after Mahomes because he decided to run with the ball, right?
Right, yes. So, and he did not slide, didn't slide till very late, and he's had a reputation of the old rope-a-dope of, I'm going to go out of bounds, no, I'm going to get a couple of more yards, and defenders are forced to lay off.
So this is what Aikman said after, or like right before the call was even finished.
He's 100% right.
Yep.
It's going to have to be addressed in the offseason.
Yep. Carrie Underwood proved why she's a country superstar during Trump's presidential inauguration on Monday. After this like 2-minute technical glitch where her music, her background music never played, she said, you know what? I better just take control of the situation. And she sang America the Beautiful a cappella.
We don't have it right now. Yeah. She was amazing. And I've been very critical of her voice, not a big fan, but to be able to do that in that moment, it sounded terrific.
And I think she was happy with the way it went down. There was a little backstory of that. She wasn't happy with where she had to perform because it got moved indoors last minute because of the cold. So she didn't have like a stage or a platform or any like specific place to sing. So a little upset with that, but overall she handled it really well. And I think she's very happy with her performance as well. Finally, there's a husband who's going viral after he was captured on camera just going crazy on his wife's boss after she complained about him. So this video, it happened in Brazil. This husband walks into this grocery store where his wife worked, and he goes and peruses shovels, grabs a shovel, kind of walks around and waits for this boss to walk out into an aisle and just goes nuts, picks up the shovel, smashes it on this boss's head.
Oh, he goes
down, and then this guy was immediately like rugby tackled by a whole nother group of employees. They held him down until police came. And it's all because his wife like went home one day and was complaining about her boss.
A
lot of people do from time to time. Anyway, the manager suffered injuries to his head, ear, and sustained hearing loss.
Jeez.
Yeah. But it's all captured on video. You can check it out.
Heather with the news. Thoughts on Goff? Thoughts on Ben Johnson? We got a ticket texter who's...
Thoughts on your boss?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Jimmy!
Where's the shovel at? It's 97.
Oh, no.
Start the new year off with resolutions. That's a better diet. That's getting to the gym a little more. But don't forget about your teeth. Brightside Dental, there's no judgment. If you didn't see a dentist in 2024, they're not going to give you a hard time about it. Make sure you see a dentist in 2025 and make sure it's Brightside Dental. 1-800-PAINLESS, brightsidedental.com. These are dentists who aren't going to lecture you if you're not flossing 3 times a day or why haven't you been to the dentist in a year or 18 months or even longer. There's no judgment with Brightside Dental. They've got 9 Metro Detroit locations, including the newest in Trenton, accepting new patients, $35 new patient special. And it's 1-800-BRIGHT. It's 1-800-PAINLESS. Give them a call or brightsidedental.com. Brightside Dental. No judgment, just care. All right, to the phones we go. Question about Goff. Did that performance shake your confidence in him as a quarterback who can win a Super Bowl? And then the question about Ben Johnson leaving for the Bears. Some of you feel betrayed. He's been called a sellout. Benedict Johnson was the headline in the Free Press. And what this offense looks like without him. So a lot to discuss. Let's start with Matt. You're first. You're on 97.1.
Hey, so a couple things. Ben Johnson leaving, I don't hate him. You know, he's doing what's best for him in his career. And I wish him all the best luck in the world. Being in the same division, yeah, kind of sucks because... he's worked with the Lions. He knows, you know, how they do things.
Well, that familiarity works both ways.
Yeah, that's true. And the Lions game this season has just been very anticlimactic.
Yeah.
You know, I expected more of a fight Saturday. I didn't see any fight at all. I feel like this loss is worse than last year's because at least last year they went farther. They actually fought. The game this Saturday, it looked like they didn't even try. It is handed Washington the game. That's just my opinion.
That's valid. Where are you at with Goff?
Goff is the quarterback right now. I know you guys see him winning the Super Bowl with the Lions. I can't see it. That doesn't mean that it's not possible. It's just that I, myself, don't see Goff helping this team get their first Super Bowl. I don't know who it'll be, but I just don't think it's him.
Well, he's going to be the quarterback probably for at least the next three seasons based on the contract, right?
Seems like it.
Yeah. And Holmes is still going to draft, we'd say, fairly well. Like, that's maybe where my confidence comes, is that Holmes can outfit the team in such a way where Goff is good enough to win. Because if it was, hey, I don't know, we're going to lose all these All-Pros, I'd say, yeah, I don't know about Goff 3 or 4 years from now if the roster doesn't hold up. But while the roster is still relatively young, under contract, I think they've got a couple cracks at this, and he's good enough.
And I think the defense is going to be better next year, because I don't think you're going to lose 13 guys on one side of the ball, and hopefully you don't lose Aiden Hutchinson But and here's the other thing. I think the Za'Darius Smith trade doesn't feel like it necessarily paid off in full this year, because there wasn't a lot of pressure, simply by himself. I do like the idea of him opposite Aiden Hutchinson. I think it makes both of them better. And making that trade, knowing that he's got another year on the contract, means that in this year's draft or free agency, it opens up. Do you start to replenish some of the talent on the offensive line to get younger? Do you start working on some projects there? Where do you address things defensively or offensively? To your point, I think Brad Holmes isn't just going to all of a sudden forget how to draft or forget how to assemble talent.
And don't forget, too, the impact of losing McNeil on Smith.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that he was not as effective after McNeil went out, because Za'Darius Smith is pretty much a one-trick pony as a pass rusher. When you don't have that presence inside gobbling up people and the focus comes to Smith, I mean, think about if you're game planning the Lions offensive line. Who'd you game plan
for? You're going to turn all your protections to Za'Darius Smith.
Exactly. Yep. I'll say this about last year versus this year. Another reason why last year was worse is you were healthy. I mean, Dan Campbell said it yesterday. We were relatively healthy going to San Francisco.
Right.
And this year, probably next year, what will happen? They'll be somewhere in between how healthy they were last year and how bad it was this year defensively.
Most likely.
Fair to say. Mike in South Lyon, you're on 97.1.
Hi, guys. First-time caller, long-time loyal listener.
Thank you.
I think we need to look at the fact that at some point in time, the Rams had assessed that Jared Goff would not win them a Super Bowl. They went and got our quarterback to do it. And I just don't think he makes the right decisions under pressure. Just doesn't. That's my assessment. I don't think we'll win a Super Bowl with him. And I don't think he makes key decisions under pressure when they're needed.
Well, Mike, let me ask you this. What was your thoughts? And it's hard to remove what we know between last year's NFC Championship game and now. But after last year's playoffs, what was your thoughts on Jared Goff? Because he wasn't the reason that they lost that San Francisco game.
No, he wasn't the reason we lost that game. But I do think had we moved on to the Super Bowl, we would have lost the Super Bowl then. So I think he can win us a championship game, but I think winning that big one is going to be an issue. And I think the Rams assessed that and made their moves accordingly.
And who knows what would have happened. It's kind of a fool's errand. But if they had moved on to the Super Bowl, they would have played Kansas City, correct?
Yes.
And how'd they open that season?
With a win in KC.
That's interesting.
But there was an asterisk on that game.
He's undefeated against Mahomes, 2-0 as a starter. But
I want to punch you.
The funny thing is about that, you don't know what Goff does against Mahomes in the Super Bowl. Because look at Josh Allen. Isn't he 4-1 or something against Mahomes in the regular season and then like 0-3 in the postseason?
In the postseason, yeah.
So maybe you don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
I think that the caller's assessment was fairly accurate. I mean, that's what the Rams determined, and Goff does struggle when he's pressured, and in some cases will start to press and make things worse. The key has been, and was a year ago, protecting him. Running it, setting up the play action, giving him a clean pocket. He can throw the ball accurately, right? I mean, he's far from a bum.
Yeah,
I think they can win with him. It's just clear that there's going to have to be a level of support that is more than your typical, top 10 quarterback. Just because of the mobility, right? Other guys can make a play happen if their offensive line screws up. What's Jalen Hurts
done? He's mobile.
Right.
And who knows what he does this year.
Right.
But yeah, I don't necessarily know that they're winning because of him. This year they're winning because they've got
Barkley in that line.
Well, and a damn good defense. A
completely revamped defense. I mean, they were one of the worst last year, one of the best this year. Let's get to Ryan in Clarkston. Ryan, you want to talk a little Ben Johnson? You're on 97.1.
Yeah, so I guess first off, I would say this is the best season the Lions have ever had, given all the injuries they had and everything they did. They got the one seed. I think it's the best season they ever had. But I wasn't mad after they lost on Saturday because I thought they overachieved. I thought there was no way. How could you do this much with this many people on injury and this and that? So I wasn't mad. I wasn't mad until yesterday, until 48 hours after we lose, Ben Johnson announces that he's inked a deal, signed, done, delivered. It wasn't that they were making him an offer and he was going to accept it. It was a done deal. So now I'm thinking backwards, and that tells me that during that bye week, he had 1 week of full interviews. And then he had a second week of hammering out the final details of his contract. And if you look at that game, everybody on the offense had a bad game. Coaches were blundering, bad calls, interceptions, fumbles. Everybody played bad. And I think everybody knew he was leaving Friday night, Saturday morning, and it caused that whole locker room to just go, oh, really? Everyone's leaving? You kidding me? And I think it made the whole offense and the whole team and everybody was just out of funk because he couldn't wait 2 weeks to make that decision. He had to do it before. And if he was smart, he would have announced it in a week or two. Don't announce it 48 hours after. All that shows is that all you did for the last 2 weeks was hammer out the details of your deal. You weren't focusing on the game.
Which shows that his agent was hammering out the details, but the fact that he had the interview. What's that?
He was texting with his agent. He's having conversations with his agent.
No, I would.
He's not going in.
Disagree. There's a lot of guys that will say, "Hey, interviews are done, and when the season's over, then I'll talk about." We've heard players do that. So to think that I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he told his agent, "Hey, I'm going to focus on this game. I'm going to focus on as far as we can possibly go." And you do your deep dives into these other franchises and start talking contracts with them, but I'm not going to do anything until we are done.
Don't the results kind of point to that? Doesn't really add up. Like
Ryan, this was not atypical. I know it's new for us. The Lions haven't lost a coordinator to a head coaching job since John F. Kennedy was the president, 1963. But this is not atypical. This is how this works. Guys interview during the playoffs. He did it during a bye week, which I think actually freed up the game week for him to prepare for the Commanders. And for a guy to be announced 48 hours after the season's done, this happens all the time. You'd be happier if it was 2 days from now. I'm just a little confused. First of all, Ben Johnson didn't run out on Instagram Live and tell everybody he took the job. The Bears need to know. And I'm sure it came from that side of things, right? Where the Bears go, hey, we got our guy. Let's let the insiders know, and then Schefter puts it out there. I don't think Ben Johnson was trying to spit in the face of Lions fans after the loss, nor do I think the fact that he interviewed anywhere is a reason why they lost.
Maybe the Raiders bailed.
Maybe.
They were getting heavily linked to him. Everybody was butthurt last week about Brady being so close to Ben Johnson and having access that other people didn't have. Maybe the Raiders bailed after Saturday night. Maybe Tom Brady sat there and saw, what's this J-Mo call about? What's this call about Jameer or not having a running back on the field? I'm just saying, if people put so much clout in it last week, which I think they kind of overdid, but if you thought that it was such an impact, that Brady had such a close impact with his ties to the Raiders and getting the visit with Ben Johnson and connecting the dots, maybe the Raiders just bailed after that game. We can't hire an offensive coordinator that just had a game like that.
We don't know, to be fair. Guys, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Ben Johnson do a virtual interview last year?
Yes.
And they won 2 playoff games? Weird. Anyway, we'll get
more. It only matters when you lose.
No, yeah. I know. And I think...
Or you have to do that interview while you're preparing instead of the bye week.
Ben should have been spending time
with
Goff.
There's no bye week last year.
Instead of on Zoom calls. That's why Goff played so bad, Jim.
Look, Lions fans are hurt. They're lashing out. I think this is new for them. I'm not trying to be mean, but I don't think that narrative holds any water that he was 1 foot out the door and that's why. Anyway, I know we got ticket texts and calls that want to make that point. It's 97.1.
Hey, your New Year's resolution is to lose weight. You can get there faster than you think with Ideal You. Go to idealyou.us now and you can lose 20 to 30 pounds in just 40 days. And whether your resolution is to lose 10, 100, or anywhere in between, Ideal You works. And it works fast. I lost 10 pounds in the first 10 days. I lost 50 pounds in that 40-day window, and I got to eat real whole foods, which is why I've been able to stick with it and drop another 20, so I'm down 70. Ideal U's weight loss coaches are going to work with you every step of the way. Your coach will help you lose weight, and they're also going to help you keep it off. If you want to weigh less, go to idealu.us. Ideal U is a Michigan-based weight loss company that has helped thousands of people, just like me and you, lose weight. In fact, over 90% of Ideal U customers lose at least 20 pounds in just 40 days. That's a great ratio. If you want to weigh less, go to idealu.us. Sign up now, get a $200 Visa gift card, start your new year off right, lose weight, and get a $200 Visa gift card from Ideal U. If you want to weigh less, go to idealu.us.
All right, to the phones we go. Talking Ben Johnson, Jared Goff. Ben Johnson to Chicago, and it's got some of you feeling a type of way. Betrayed. I don't fully understand it, but Dave and Flint, you want to make that case. You're on 97.1. Tell us how you're feeling.
Hey, pretty good, guys. Good morning. So I just kind of want to echo what you guys were saying, that Goff needs to be disciplined. But here's the thing. I mean, Goff's not Stafford. He's not going to beat you with his arm. You know, he's not Lamar, not going to beat you with his legs. And he's not a hybrid like Josh Allen. So we have to play. He has to play within the framework of his skill set. Now, you look at other quarterbacks of his type of skill set, let's say Joe Flacco or Matt Ryan, who want mobile quarterbacks. They had good defenses and they played discipline. So it's really just a discipline problem. He, you know, whoever his quarterback coach is, the OC is, you know, they need to stay in his ear, say, look, you know, and put him in a position to win. But as you said, he can't, you know, he had LaPorta right there open, you know, third down, you know, just no backs in the backfield there. So, you know, we've got to put him in a better position to win. And also, I think the offseason, he needs to really work on a strength and conditioning plan, because he goes down with one arm. You know, I'm not saying he has to squat 600 like Saquon, I mean, like Jalen Hurts, but I mean, he needs to be on a strength and conditioning plan to get physically stronger, because, you know, if you're going to have a limited type of, you know, skill set, you got to at least play stronger. So, but I'm not giving up on Goff, but the team has to put the tools around him to make him succeed, and he can get it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, Dave. Yeah, he's played 4 playoff games as a Detroit Lion. 3 of them were very, very good, and he quarterbacked them well enough to win. Wasn't his fault they lost the NFC title game. I don't want to fly off the handle. I've been critical. I think those limitations still exist, but they can, and for a long portion, did overcome them. They had the number one offense. They won 15 games. He just was flatly not good enough. And I think John had a great observation. He was pressing. Those are the mistakes that kill you in a playoff game. And now he will move forward without Ben Johnson. And we'll see how that all goes. Dan Campbell saying that they want to get input from Jared Goff, and that they want to keep the offense largely kind of the same philosophically, and the same with the defense. They want to play a lot of man coverage. The Ben Johnson thing, the betrayal angle of it all, John. What if fans, they felt like they were entitled that he was going to be the coordinator forever?
No, they're just mad that he went to Chicago. If he had gone to Vegas, or if he had gone to Jacksonville, hell, if he had gone to Dallas, or the Saints, the Jets, any other open job outside of the division, nobody would really care that much. Yeah, we're disappointed to lose them, but going in division is where people start to get their feelings hurt.
So he should take a lesser job to protect Lions fans' feelings. I'm just trying to understand.
Well, no, if that's what they're feeling, sure. But
I'm asking them. Like, you think he should consider the fans' feelings and take a lesser job when he's been selective as is, right? I mean, he knows hired to be fired. I think that's part of the reason why he was waiting for a good opportunity. Caleb Williams is the number one overall pick. If he feels like he's got something to work with there, he's supposed to turn it down because it's taboo?
And it may have been as simple as, okay, what are you offering? It's been reported $13 million a year. Okay, I'll go there.
Sorry,
I mean, it could be as simple as that. He may have done all of the analysis. Was it Trevor Lawrence, or is it Caleb Williams, or is it the ability at Vegas to work with Tom Brady and eventually figure out how you're going to get your quarterback? Oh, wait a second. You're offering me $13 million a year? Okay, I'll go there.
The about face. Like, people were worshiping the ground he walked on 5 days ago. And now it's, well, his game plan was lousy in the playoff, and he, like, almost a character assassination. He didn't take the playoff game seriously. He didn't game plan. He's slap in the face. This is regular business in the NFL. I don't know how to stress this to people, and I understand if this is, you're new to this, you haven't watched a lot of the Lions, you're just new to, I'm not trying to, like, mock you or anything. This is typical NFL business. Good teams get their coordinators poached. And it's not a knock on the Lions. In fact, it's a compliment that they're finally having coaches good enough that other teams want to hire them. And it's going to be a test for Dan Campbell. But if you trust Dan Campbell, then he's going to pass this test.
Yeah. I mean, he obviously hired the staff to begin with.
Yeah.
And he promoted Ben Johnson from within when he moved on from Anthony Lynn. Is he going to go the same route and go with a Tanner Engstrom? Or is he going to go with Mark Brunell, Antoine Randall L? Like, there's a number of really good offensive minds on that staff. Or is he going to go outside the family and bring somebody else in simply because this is a very coveted position? The way that Dan Campbell has positioned this franchise, Brad Holmes, Sheila Hamp Ford, I mean, everybody, this is a coveted position. So you don't have to be limited with, well, we don't really have any good applicants, so I'm going to promote within.